With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared creates collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face. So my next guest is Adrienne Franklin, and she has a whole lot to say. She's very passionate about an organization that she works for called Days for Girls. This is about feminine hygiene. This is about menstrual care. It's about education. It's about partnerships and cultivating social enterprises and mobilizing volunteers. And Adrienne and I talk about things that are really, you know, in some ways they're going to seem really groundbreaking, and yet they're just so simple and so natural and so community-based and so family-based and rooted in this sense of a good relationship. And so we talk about things like trust and oppression and poverty and how it's all connected. We talk about building community. And I think you're going to really enjoy this next interview with Adrienne. She has plenty to say about the work that she's so passionate about as she works here locally in Ontario to mobilize girls and women to grow this world into a stronger and better global community. She's coming right up in a couple of, seconds, I guess. And don't forget davidpecklive.com for information about my writing and speaking, and facetofacelive.ca for more information about podcasting. And if you'd like to come alongside and support the work that I do, you can do that through patreon.com. Coming right up, Adrienne Franklin speaking about a whole lot of things, including Days for Girls. Well, welcome to Face to Face. We're joined by a very special guest today. Adrienne Franklin is here from Days for Girls. She's here to talk about a whole lot of things that I'm pretty sure are going to make a few people uncomfortable, and that's a good thing. Here's the vision statement for Days for Girls: every girl and woman with ready access to feminine hygiene by 2024. Daysforgirls.org. Adrienne, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So tell me more about what the organization is about, and I'm really interested to hear more from you about why Days for Girls and not something else. A little bit about your story before we start maybe getting into some of the issues.
Okay, so Days for Girls, in a nutshell, quickly, is we make and educate girls and women, and we give them kits to manage their periods, basically. So in many parts of the world, women have no access to any lasting hygiene solutions. So that means they're missing work and they're missing school. So we come in, we do an education piece, we give them a kit that lasts a few years, and we hopefully leave them better off than when we went there. I got involved, I was home in Nova Scotia, and I was looking for quilting fabric on Kijiji, and there was a posting for someone who needed quilting fabric to make feminine hygiene kits.
Wow.
And so I was like, interesting.
Yeah, sure.
I'm a woman, I'm a teacher, I have daughters. Interesting piece. So I followed the link through to Days for Girls.
So was it like an ad?
It was a Kijiji, ad for needing fabric.
Interesting.
Because that's part of our kit.
Okay.
We need a lot of fabric.
Okay.
So I came back to Ontario and thought about it for a bit. I went to the Oakville Sewing Center and asked her if she'd heard of it. I said, have you heard of Days for Girls? And she said, oh, yeah, actually, if you start a team, I can help you out with fabric. And you can use my sewing room for volunteers. Amazing. One step closer. Then I contacted the Brampton team. And she was keen to meet. I went to one of her sewing workshops, saw what it was all about, and decided, sure, I can handle this. And so I created a team. I signed up online, got everything I needed
team,
to have.
Teams like a chapter, like is it like a book club but with a bit more of a purpose, would you say?
Kind of. So a team basically can be started by one person with a plan.
Right.
And I could sew and I could do all these things that I needed to be able to do. So I did that, and then I started recruiting people. Once I was an official team and got my logo and my patterns and everything you need to make the kits, then I started trying to get the word out.
So you're clearly crafting, you're doing a whole lot, it sounds like, already. What are these kits?
So the kits are, they come in a pretty bag. And the girls can double those for use as a backpack to go to school. My team has decided, my volunteers and I decided, we will focus mostly on girls and school because I'm a teacher. There's a bunch of teachers involved on my team. So we want to focus more on getting girls. And the key to getting girls is to get them when they first get their period. So
hang on a sec. Yes. What do you mean girls? You mean girls versus women, like older, like a certain, do you mean a certain age group?
So we kind of differentiate. Girls would be ones in school.
Women
would be ones we're trying to keep at work.
Right.
So our target group ideally would be around 12, right? Because in a lot of countries, that's when girls start dropping out of school because their options are terrible to manage their periods. So they often stay home. And then when you're behind a week out of a month,
school, there's not
Kumon, there's not all these tutoring services to catch you up. They just kind of fade out.
It's just so fascinating, you know, from a development perspective and how connected, how interconnected it all really is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm sure our conversation's going to go to things like about clean water and gender violence and disparity and all of that, right? Because it's kind of all connected,
it
right?
Is,
it's education
yes.
and then what does that mean? It means I can't get a job, and it's fascinating, mm-hmm. right? We just the things that we take for granted,
absolutely,
right? Something so simple. Mm-hmm. Right. So let's get back before we get too deep. The kits. So pretty mm-hmm. bag.
Pretty bag.
Double as a backpack.
Yep. Double as a backpack.
Yeah.
That's the opener.
Yeah.
And then when they open up the kit, they're going to get two big Ziploc bags, and that's to carry the soiled pads around to wash them in. They're going to get two what we call shields. So they basically look like what we would be used to as a pad here. They snap around your underwear. They're made of cotton, and then inside there's a layer of PUL, polyurethane laminate, and that's watertight. So they actually won't leak. So even if they go through things, it won't go through. And then we get they get two of those, and then they get eight flannel liners. And those are kind of double layered that you can fold up and insert. And that's what takes the brunt of the period, and that's what they would wash the most. And those are made of nice soft flannel. People that have used the kits say they're very comfy. And then we give them soap and a washcloth. We know, and they shouldn't last 2 to 4 years. Those parts of the kit shouldn't last that long. So we do try to hook them up then with other agencies that can supply them with general hygiene options.
When you say agencies, is that a World Vision? Is that a plan? Is that
whoever's
is that
in their area, really?
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
and there's other organizations in Canada that just ship hygiene kits,
and
right?
Probably plenty of local organizations too, I would imagine.
Yes.
I would hope. Depends on the community, right?
Absolutely.
Depends on the country, depends on the community, the province, and it's...
And how far off the beaten path they are.
Yeah, totally. How rural, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. How accessible.
And then the last thing they get is a little picture instruction card.
Oh, okay.
For how to use it with no words, because we're in over 110 countries.
Yeah.
So we translate it that many times.
Wow.
And then on the back of that is a cycle tracker for a year. So hopefully showing them that, you know, it's a regular thing.
Yeah.
it's going to happen.
So 110 countries. And is it 1 million girls that Days for Girls wants to reach?
By the end of this year, we should have distributed 1 million kits at the rate we're going.
And do they have a goal in mind? Or is it just kind of, this is going to exist in perpetuity until this is a global thing. This is done. We're done.
Yeah. So I think the only way we'll be done is when every woman on the planet has access to something usable, durable, clean, safe.
Right.
And right now, so like as we speak, 800 million women have their periods right now on the planet, and at least 300 million of those have no way to manage it.
Yeah, it's wild.
So it's like our 1 million sounds huge, but yeah, it's really like a drop in the bucket.
I love the tagline, every girl, everywhere, period.
Exactly.
It's so good.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so good. So your team, I think I've heard you say them, you've called them a team a couple times.
Yeah.
You guys get together and make these kits.
We do.
And you fundraise.
We do.
And you're out speaking.
Yep.
Writing articles, posting on Facebook.
Yes. Yeah. All those things, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, and do you have a good group?
So our team is about, I would say we have 20, 25 regular volunteers.
That's amazing.
They don't all come out. We meet once a month generally, like a Monday night and a Tuesday morning to try to meet everybody's needs.
Right.
We have some people that work at sew at home.
Okay.
Some people, we have Quilters Guild, some of them that just want to make one part. Other people make different parts. Some people just iron or watch. There's just so many jobs that go into it that you don't need a special skill to come.
No, it sounds really like there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on all the time.
So, but you're also trying to raise funds.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So each kit in Canada costs about $15.
Okay.
Oh, I should have mentioned, they also get two pairs of underwear. That's key. I forgot about that. So a lot of girls will have school uniforms, but they don't come with underwear. So we give two pairs of underwear. So that's one of the biggest expenses in the kit. We can't make underwear.
So somebody says, "Oh, this is great, Adrian, but you know, it's a stopgap." I mean, what do you say to that? Do you say, "No, well, hang on. We connect to local organizations. This is about education. It's about bringing these 12-year-old girls into a world that they didn't. Well, they do know it exists clearly, but they don't know what their options are. Because now we're talking about." Seems to me choice and dignity and
absolutely
and freedom and all kinds of things.
All
right?
kinds of yeah. things, yeah.
Yeah, which is wonderful, right?
So I agree. It is a one-time drop, like, of the items. But what we're trying to grow more of now are what we call micro-enterprises. So there are about, I'm going to say 15 countries with those. That may not be accurate. But this is where people can go to Days for Girls University, and they can be trained on how to make the kits in their own country.
Right, which is fantastic.
And
that
becomes the sustainable piece.
Because now you're using local products, you're not importing all this stuff, you're building economy and so on.
Right,
yeah.
And then by teaching the women to sew, and we don't just say you can only make Days for Girls kits for the rest of your life. Now you know how to sew.
Right.
Now you have a trade.
Right.
So when you're
not
making and selling kits, maybe you're making and selling other things to the community. So it gives women employment options as well.
Any men in your team? Any men in your group?
My team doesn't have any. My husband is the treasurer for Days for Girls Canada.
Okay. So
he hears about
family,
periods all the time.
He hears about periods all the time. It's a very funny one.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say men I speak to are very, the ones that get it. Like.
So that's funny. So he hears about periods all the time. Are we not really okay with talking about this kind of stuff? I mean, you know, because there are a few subjects, right? Sex, religion, politics, and death probably are the four doozies that most people don't want to talk about.
I would add periods.
And you'd add, let's add a fifth one to that. Right. So is that, you know, is that changing a little bit? It's not dinner conversation typically, right?
It's not usually,
but you're
unless
clearly,
there's a good article.
Clearly you're trying to change that.
I am.
And why is that? Why are we so afraid to talk about something so human, so basic, so fundamental to
our existence?
Exactly. I've never really sort of thought about periods this much in a confined period of time.
Yes.
So yeah, exactly.
We're all here because a woman had a period, right? That's how it works.
Yeah, it's how it works.
And I would say it is still very taboo. Like, I talk about it with some friends.
Taboo here?
Here, even here.
Yeah, forget about
forget
yeah,
like
the
over
global south.
In other parts of the world, the beliefs about it are amazing.
Yeah.
Like, the cultural and religious beliefs about periods in
amazing
other parts of the world
crazy,
in a horrific
in
way.
In a horrific way. Okay.
In a horrific way. And it's a really easy way to keep women and girls down.
Mm.
And I think that's
so. Now we're
it.
Talking about oppression.
There's
right?
so much.
Yeah.
There's just
Power
so
struggles.
Much built into periods.
Yeah, yeah.
But even here, I mean, I was supply teaching at a high school last week, and I was reading the book Periods Gone Public. So it's about research about periods around the world. And when the kids would see what I was reading, they started snickering. These kids, they're in grade 10. I'm like, okay, guys, all you girls probably have periods.
Yes,
guys,
yes.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they're still snickering about it. I was like, this is a normal word.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I come up to that. When I present to some groups, people are taken aback. Because Days for Girls has a hidden Like, it doesn't say periods, like managing periods for girls. And when they find out what it is, some people get a little squeamish or a little taken aback. Yeah, it's weird.
Well, I mean, my son, and I'm sure he's going to hate this, but anyway, he's, 12, and I consider myself pretty open.
Right.
Pretty liberal, pretty left, pretty, throw it on the table, let's have a conversation.
Right.
And so lately, or recently, we've been having, more sexually driven conversations. We're talking about what's going on in the world, what's happening, what are you seeing on your device, what are your friends, all the... And, for Mr. Liberal over here, it's a little odd, right?
Yes, yeah.
It's not my favorite thing to do. And yet, I think what Elizabeth and I have learned, what we've learned in our family is that, or at least what we hope we're learning, is that everyone's trying to remain included in a conversation.
Right.
So it's not about right and wrong. It's not about this or that. It's about tell me more.
Right.
It's about what happened. How does it make you feel? This kind of thing. It sounds on a certain level kind of corny, I suppose. But the idea is that we're not just giving, our kids a book to read and then, off you go into the world. There you have it. And Google, by the way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yay.
Right? And your friends.
Yes.
Right?
Which, terrible
stories. So it's fascinating to me that you use the word taboo. Because, you just... I don't know. It just sounds so sort of, old school, archaic.
I know. It's weird.
Prehistoric.
I know. And then I spoke at a high school a month ago and we were talking about, so I asked them, what's it like having your period now? Like, cause I,
you got 500 students?
No, I was a group of 12 girls.
Okay.
I was like, what's it like now? Cause I've had mine for 25 plus years. So I'm like, I'm sure things have changed since I was in school. Right. And so I told them my experience. I said, you went to the bathroom. You might take a friend. The best case scenario, there's a hand dryer in there. You can turn that on while you're changing things so there's no noise. No one knows what's happening. If there's no hand dryer, your friend's job is to talk while you do your, change your pad, right? And they were like, same. And I said, come on. They're like, no, we do the same thing. You walk in, you turn the hand dryer on. You go in the bathroom, you do your business. And you go back out again. I said, in 25 years, nothing. We have come nowhere.
We've come nowhere.
And even in a, I'll hear
so
in
why is that? So you're a teacher.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, teacher. My brother's a principal teacher.
Yeah.
What's going on? Are we not talking? You know what? I think we are talking about it, but in a very particular way or in a very structured way. Or we're allowed to talk about it between 1 and 2:15 in the period.
Right.
Sorry, the school period.
Right.
Right?
And then
once we get outside of that, it's now taboo again or it's uncomfortable, right? It's you can make jokes. I just the snickering does, it's kind of interesting to think about where and why that happens.
It is. And even adult women, I'll be in the bathroom and you'll hear people doing the slow peel or doing whatever, coughing. I'm like, come on.
Really?
I'm not kidding.
Well, this is like inside information.
It's inside information.
Yeah.
Like women still, grown women still are it's a social thing. Like,
yeah, sure.
It's very private,
sure,
but it's also social. Like if you have your accident in school and you've leaked.
Right. Yep.
Now, how do you get to the bathroom with anybody seeing, right?
Right.
Are you comfortable with your teacher to say, can I just sit in here?
Crazy. It's mind-boggling in a way to think we've got to go that far. But so why this issue? Why are you not driven to drill wells, to work on HIV/AIDS issues or well, I mean, I was going to say, or gender issues, but this clearly is, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'd love to hear more of your thoughts on that power, that oppression, that disparate edge to this whole conversation.
Mm-hmm. So one of the biggest reasons I was drawn to this, number one, is that I could, to be honest, I help other charities that do things like drill wells and all that stuff, but it's all very interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
This one to me, once I dug deeper into the period issue and learned that it really is a gender equity issue, then it really kind of pulled me in. So it's education, it's gender, it's all that stuff. We need those other partners. Like these kits, you need water to use them. You need access to supplies. You need people who believe girls should go to school and build schools that girls can go to. So it's all very interconnected. This one just spoke to me personally because there was a gap that needed to be filled in our neighborhood. And I can sew and I can organize people. And so it just felt like a really good fit and something that I could be passionate about in talking to people. Having access to certain audiences, like being in high schools and being able to chat with people about what's happening these days, is just kind of an added value piece.
So what's it like going to your local Rotary Club, mm-hmm. where the demographic is of a very particular sort again, you know, a certain age and so on? It's early in the morning, probably, because most Rotaries are all nuts. They meet at 7 a.m., right, because they want to get to work by 9, which is really quite remarkable. I love Rotary. I love the commitment and the passion. Mm-hmm. What's it like there? What's the reception been like? How long have you been involved now?
About 2.5 years.
Okay, so you must have some stories.
I
to
do.
Tell.
And
there must be some sort of, you know, patterns.
Yeah,
you know?
There are. So I would say, so my first speaking engagement ever was, I don't love public speaking, but a woman at my gym is involved in a Rotary group, and she said she knew what I was doing. She's like, "Why don't you come talk?" I'm like, "Seriously?" She's like, "Yeah, it'll be fun." Like,
it'll be fun. Yes.
And so I get there, and it's a group of, there were maybe 5 women, probably about 20 men, 50 plus.
Great.
And they were just like, "You know, Adrian, you know, she helps with a charity that they help girls and women and blah, blah, blah." And I was like, they didn't say period yet. I get up there. It is 7:30 in the morning.
Yep.
And I said,
so funny.
And I was
it's
like,
almost like you got to take a comedic approach almost.
Like if you don't open like that. Yeah. So yeah. I said, "Hey guys, like 7:30, hope you're enjoying your breakfast. Now let's talk about periods." And they all just kind of looked at me and some of them kept looking down, but, they were very attentive. Like, I was very scared because I'm like, this is not my target. I pictured my target audience as being like people my age and older, women.
Well, high schools maybe, right?
High schools.
School teacher. And...
if they're socially involved. But this was definitely not the group I was anticipating. So I was a little taken aback. They could not have been more receptive. Hmm. They ended up giving me enough money to buy this die cutting machine that speeds up the process of making the kits substantially. And that was like right after the meeting, and the amount of questions they asked and the, intensity of the questions they asked, some I weren't prepared for.
So good.
They wanted more information and more details, and different things spoke to different people.
Well, it's because we don't talk about it.
Right.
You probably have such a huge opportunity here in a way, right? If you can get in the door.
That's
and
right.
And it is interesting that it's Days for Girls, because I have no idea really what that means.
That's right. Yes.
Which is really quite. I mean, it's more than clever. It's great branding, and it's very interesting. So tell me more about what you've learned about from an activist perspective, from an advocacy perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you about 4 questions in a row here.
Okay.
You know, what makes you angry now? What have you learned about gender disparity? What have you learned about the, in this Trump-like era that we live in? Mm-hmm. What have you learned about this disparate power? Mm-hmm. Gap that we have pretty much everywhere.
Pretty much everywhere. So, everything bugs me now, really.
Your tagline.
Yeah,
that should be on your business card.
Everything bugs me.
Adrian Franklin, everything bugs me now. Yeah.
Because everything is so interconnected.
Yeah, that's true.
But periods are a really easy way to keep girls and women from being equal to men. Because you can keep them home. You can keep them ashamed. You can keep them feeling guilty.
The shame, right? Of course.
So depending on what your culture tells you about it or your religion tells you about it, some people have
to stay home. Forgot about the religious aspect of this.
Oh, yeah.
You
can't
absolutely.
Touch holy books in some religions when you have your period.
Of course.
Because you're unclean. I'm like, how are you unclean? Some people say the more you bleed, the more evil you have inside of you.
Wow.
It's quite shocking.
Yeah.
So there is some shame that comes with it. We come along and we go, "Hey, okay, guys, girls, sorry."
Guys in the most inclusive.
That's right,
sense
the most inclusive.
The word,
yeah. Here's what a period actually is, and we tell them the biological reason and that you have an egg inside of you, or and this is what happens, and they're just like, "What?" Because they've never been taught that.
They've never been taught. Wow.
They also don't tell them that that's when they can get pregnant, because then they may not want to, have sex and get pregnant. So they try to keep that from them. So we go in and tell them, now you can get pregnant. Here's how that actually happens, which some people don't want us to share.
Right.
And here's what your period is, and you're going to have it for 40 years. And,
right,
you know,
right.
So a friend of mine
the
went...
The good news and the bad
yeah,
news.
Yeah, like, so a friend of mine went to, it's a bit of an aside, but she delivered in St. Lucia. And she brought back some pictures, and I looked at one, and there were a bunch of girls that did not look happy. So a whole bunch of them were smiling and holding their kits and like, yeah. And in the front
when you say they delivered the kits.
Delivered the kit.
Oh,
did the
okay,
education
thanks. Not
piece,
delivered a baby.
Did not deliver a baby.
Okay.
Delivered
good.
The kits.
That's an important distinction
yeah.
to make.
She delivered
yeah.
60 kits to junior high students.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so I said, what's with the unhappy girls? Like, I'm just curious. And she said, well, when we did the talk about what periods were, any girl that doesn't have their period didn't know that it was coming. It's not something talked about.
Hmm.
So they
right.
were hearing about this for the first time.
Right.
So we're going in and being like, you're going to bleed for a week a month.
Right.
And they were like, what? Right. Is like, this is not okay.
Right.
So they were super sad. The girls that already had their periods were excited because right. it meant they weren't right. going to miss school anymore.
So it's such an opportunity to me, it seems, I don't know, tell me more if I'm going down the right path here, but to build relationships in a really interesting and unique and vulnerable way.
Yes,
right? To
yes.
build trust and to, I mean, talk about the, like, I'm always looking for the leveler. How is it that I can go into a community as a development worker mm-hmm. and say, yeah, I'm 6 foot two and I'm bald and I'm white and
right.
and I'm probably really wealthy financially
right.
compared to you.
Relative,
I might be
yeah.
bankrupt emotionally or spiritually.
Right.
But I got
that
lots of
show.
Cat.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I can hide it.
Yeah.
You know. But what you know, so I mean this to me is just, you know, we're all in this together kind of, right?
Yeah,
I
right.
mean I mean if there's anything I'm preaching, if I can even use that word, it's this idea of similarity through difference. And
mm-hmm.
And yes, we're all different, but man, we really are in this together. We are embraced. We are included.
Yeah.
And boy, that's a tough message to get across
mm-hmm.
and to take hold. Maybe to get across, not so hard,
right.
but for it to take hold is a little harder, right?
It is. And periods are one thing that unite all women in the world, right? Like it's one thing we all have in common.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes girls don't know that. So when,
right.
you know, when our... So my friend that delivered the kits, she goes and she's like, yeah, you know, I currently have my period. And the girls are like, whoa, like there's an adult talking about
right.
having a period.
Right.
And she's white and she has
right.
a period.
Right,
and
right,
like,
right, right.
There, it's a level of commonality that you can find, especially in communities where it is not discussed.
Well, and isn't it true? I think it's true that if you want to build trust with people, you get vulnerable.
Absolutely.
Right? You break down. And what a great way to break down a barrier. Yes, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to feel weird. But to talk about something like the period or,
mm-hmm.
or sex or death or religion,
right.
something that is potentially going to explode, I suppose, depending on the room you're in.
Mm-hmm.
But it can really break those barriers down. I mean, I suppose it can build them up too.
Right.
But when we're vulnerable with others, it seems to me that most often
mm-hmm.
people are willing to sort of... you know, acquiesce in return, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I end up, even when I talk to groups, not so much with a Rotary group, but when I speak to people my age or younger women, if I talk about my own experience first, it opens the floodgates.
Right, right.
If I just go
right.
in and be like, you tell me about your period, people
right,
are like, well, who
right,
are you?
Right.
But if I go in and say, well, no, I didn't know what it was until I got it, they're like, really? Like, it's...
Yeah. So
yeah.
So that's really interesting. So your experience, love it, love to hear more. A lot of folks look at these issues, you know, whatever they are, gender disparity or extreme poverty, violence, terrorism, and so on, and go, yep, way too big for me,
mm-hmm.
not interested, thanks very much. They may not say that.
Right.
But you know, it's pretty easy to get distracted by what's going on in our own families, and that's fine, and
yep.
and we need to be, you
yep.
know, that's where we need to be focused, and we need to be building our communities and working at the jobs we work at.
Yeah.
But it seems like you've got an extra passion for this in a way that maybe others don't. Can you offer some insight into that? You know, I'm always hoping, you know, that people will listen to these podcasts and go, wow, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Love to get involved. Maybe not into this organization,
right.
but wow, maybe
something.
Maybe I actually can change the world.
Right.
Right?
So I think another part of the appeal of Days for Girls is how tangible it is.
It really is tangible. It's so simple, right?
It's so simple. Yeah. It's so simple. And yeah. at the end of the day or the month or whatever, we're making kits and we're holding them. Mm-hmm. And you're just thinking about the girl that's going to saying, like, this is going to... Mm. If you use this, and the usage rate is huge. Like, when we follow up, the girls that get the kits use the kits.
That's amazing.
So you know what's going to change their life. Like, they might stay in school an extra 3 years. They might be able to put off marriage, having kids, not till they're 30, but until they're 17 or until they've graduated.
Right.
They might not be forced into a marriage because they're able to stay in school and keep up. So I think it's the tangibility of being able to do something small, but knowing that it has a real impact is what people need to look for in something. And this to me was so obvious. Mm-hmm. Like, you're literally sewing it with your hands and you know that it's going to somebody who is going to love it.
Yeah, you're not just going out and hosting a cocktail reception or doing a garage sale or a run or whatever
and giving money. Yeah.
You're doing that, but you're also actually creating these things. It's pretty cool. So where... and I'm asking this sort of globally and inclusively. Okay. Where are the men in all of this?
That's a great question. So,
am I just writing you a check tonight?
Yeah, that's right. You know? For all of men.
That's right. For men everywhere.
For men everywhere. So there are some men involved, for sure. We have translators in some countries that are men that get involved. Mm-hmm. But we also have men that are major stumbling blocks. So men are involved in good and bad ways. Mm-hmm. So for instance, one of the teams I know was doing a distribution, a big distribution, I think 400 kits. And the principal called and said, if you don't bring something for the boys too, you're not coming.
Interesting.
She'd already bought her tickets. She'd already had the kits made.
Okay.
And so she whipped together something that's not general practice, of course. Right. That's not what we're about.
Yep.
But to get it to the hands of those girls, now she had to kind of play ball with that.
Right.
And like, that to me, like, I hear stories like that and it just infuriates me.
Yeah, it must
make
you crazy. Yeah.
And that's why we give our kits out hand to hand to the girls. There's no middleman.
Can you say what it was that she had to bring? Was it like a toy? Was it like a game?
Oh, no. It was, I think, underwear and soap.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I actually had that response at a Rotary group I went to. One of the men put his hand up at the end of my presentation and said, what about the boys?
Yeah.
And I said, what about the boys?
Yeah.
And he said, well, shouldn't you take them soccer balls or something?
Right.
And I said, interesting. Last I heard, girls, like, also played soccer. Maybe. We could take them for everybody.
Right.
And the idea that girls getting a period kit is equal to a boy getting a soccer ball was shocking to me.
Yeah.
I was very taken aback. And I do get that response from men sometimes. Yeah. What about the boys?
Yeah. No, I'm sure you do.
And I'm like, okay, let's look at some statistics. And like,
well, this is the thing, right? And I mean, there's an edge to the question that makes sense. But.
Right.
But. And it's a huge but.
Yes.
Let's look where the pendulum's sitting right now folks.
Right. Exactly.
And let's look at the stats. Let's look at the research. Let's look at what's currently going on. Just look at the news.
Yeah, right. Right.
Forget about the academic research. So maybe we need to be sensitive to the young boys that are there, and we need to tell them why we're here and giving out the kits, and maybe there is something we can do to offset that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, no, I'm with you on that. But I remember teaching a course at Humber College, and having one student who was he was the guy that would always raise his, what about the boys? What about the men?
Right.
So and it was really interesting. And I mean, to some degree, I thought, you know, to his credit, wow, he feels open enough to at least say this.
Yes.
But there was an edge to it that was deeply, deeply troubling.
Yes.
And because I think there's an edge to it that's actually really healthy, because if you don't take the men into consideration, if you don't educate men as well, and young boys and my kids and so on, and it's just going to continue on in the same
way,
right?
Yep.
So there is a sense in which the what about boys question, maybe not soccer balls, but...
Yeah.
Right. And you guys have a new program, don't you?
We do. It's very new. I don't know a lot about it, but it's called Men First.
Good.
And it's to educate men and boys on periods and women's issues as well.
Yeah.
Because it does affect the community, right?
Yeah.
And they don't know either what it is. They'll know girls can get pregnant, but they don't understand biologically what a period is, and everybody gets them.
And I'm guessing, even from my own upbringing, if dads knew a little bit more about this stuff, if dads were willing to talk about this stuff a little bit more and weren't shaming and imposing guilt of one kind or another, probably be in a bit of a healthier place.
It I seems think to so.
Me. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
I would agree. Yeah.
So we're gonna have to wrap it up in a couple of minutes. But tell me, so how do people? I mean, you can go to the website daysforgirls.org, of course. You can donate.
Yep.
What about what's even better than that?
What's even better than that? We always need hands-on labor, especially if you can sew or serge. We need a lot of care goes and detail goes into these kits. Otherwise, they will not last 2 to 4 years. And when you think that they're used, you know, a good 60 days a year, they need to last. So if you're a first-time sewer, you might want to hone up your skills a little bit before you come out. But we always need sewers. We need fabric. Hotel soaps is a thing that we collect. That people who travel, they have to be new and unused. I get people who want to, like, I only used it once. I'm like, that's too many times. So if they're wrapped, it's good. But yeah, it's people.
Right.
Yeah, getting the word out. And when I find when people hear about it, they're like me. I never had thought about it.
Yeah, exactly. Ever. Right.
Until I read that posting about kits and I went to the website. I'm like, oh, right. Like, I take it for granted. I can go to the store and I can buy
The things we take for granted. Remarkable.
So one of my mother-in-laws just took kits to Fort Albany. Because even in Indigenous communities in Canada.
Right.
They're marked up 2 to 3 times what we pay here. So they're a bit of a luxury item.
So can I start my own club or my own team?
You can start your own team. It's a bit more of a process now in that you you need to do some quality control and that sort of thing.
Right.
They don't want too many in a city.
Oh,
so,
I see.
If I only have 20, 25 volunteers, starting one next door to me might not be.
Right. And a U.S.-based organization, is it?
It was started in the U.S.
Okay.
But we have over 1,100 teams around the world.
Wow,
yeah,
it's amazing.
It is. Yeah, so the U.S., Canada, and Australia are the big ones. Then Europe and different parts of Asia have some teams. But yeah, a team, you don't have to do a certain amount of fundraising or a certain number of kits or whatever. You can.
Yeah,
that's more chapter territory.
Sure, right, okay.
But yeah, teams, they used to be easier to start up. Now they're a little tougher because we want to make sure that teams are producing and are active.
Right.
Because a team not doing anything doesn't help.
So just to sort of wrap it up here, have you got a story that you can tell that you've been made aware of in the last whatever since you started that's just, I don't know, brought a tear to your eye, changed the way you see the world, thought about things a little bit different.
Good story or bad story?
Well, there you go. We don't have to end on a positive note. I'll leave that up to you. It doesn't have to be a positive note.
No, so I mean. I set up at the Creative Festival 1 year, and it's a big craft festival. So a lot of sewers, knitters, those kinds of people come. And I set up, and I spoke to hundreds of people over those 3 days. And a lot of people didn't stop because it's the charity booth. And
you know, of course. You're going to ask me to donate. Yep.
And then we're like, oh, we're, you know, periods. Like, you're holding things up. And I think the most interesting thing I found is how older women that... A lot of them use systems even more archaic than what we're making through Days for Girls, right? Like women I meet who grew up in Canada, who are in their 50s, 60s, they use these belt systems. They use these weird underwear. They used all these things. They really have a heart for it. I find that even...
Interesting.
Yeah, so I find the older women really have this connection to it because they struggled with theirs.
Yeah.
It was an issue for them.
Right. Yeah.
My generation... We have empathy, but it's not the same.
It's not the same.
We haven't had the same struggle. We didn't have to wash ours. We didn't have to borrow from our mother.
Right. Yeah.
We didn't
would be absurd, actually, right? To our generation in this part of the world.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but once I tell stories, and once you hear stories of, like, when you give kits out, like when people come back and say the reactions, and some girls cry, and some women, because they're just, like, they know it's life-changing.
Yeah,
these girls that we give them to are desperate to go to school. So right now they'll use rocks, they'll use leaves, they'll use grass.
Wow.
And then we come along and we're like, look at this. And like, what?
So simple. I've been sort of preaching, and it's certainly not my notion, but the little things, you know, make all the difference in the world, right? And it's just, wow, you couldn't find a simpler issue to get involved with to change somebody's life.
Yeah.
You know, it's really remarkable. Today, talking with Adrian Franklin here, Days for Girls. Check it out. Check it out online, daysforgirls.org. And I'm guessing they're coming soon to a theater near you. Thanks, Adrian, for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.